This is ensemble member Francis Guinan, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
I'm Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm here with ensemble member Yasin Payankov, who is the director of the Steppenwolf for Young Adults production of The Glass Menagerie. How are you, Yasin?
I'm good, David. Good to see you.
You too. Yasin, you grew up in Bulgaria and then came to Chicago how many years ago?
18.
Okay.
So 1990.
So when did you first encounter The Glass Menagerie?
Actually, the first production of The Glass Menagerie was the one that you were in.
Ah, here's Steppenwolf.
In 1999.
Yeah.
Was it 99?
98 or 99,
yes.
I think, yeah.
Yes, I have read it before, but have very little memories of it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in drama school I have read it, but the first production that I have seen was our production that you were part of.
Right. So then comes the decision to direct the production for Steppenwolf for Young Adults, and worth noting with an African-American cast. Was that an idea that you came up with, or is that something that you developed with Hallie Gordon, our director of Steppenwolf for Young Adults? Or
that was Hallie's idea, actually. Mm-hmm. She called me and said, would you like to direct The Glass Menagerie, and we are going to do it with an African-American cast, and I was all over it immediately.
Yeah.
It made sense to me immediately. I just knew from the get-go that this will give it more immediacy. Reading it again with that in mind, it was really, I mean, I knew that was the right move. But I have wanted to do Tennessee Williams for a while. I really love Streetcar Named Desire. And I have wanted to do that for a while, but Glass Menagerie is something that has been a dream of mine for many years, actually, even before I saw the production that you were in.
What is it about Tennessee Williams that attracts you as a director?
Very good question. I find him very Chekhovian. As you know, I happen to be directing my own translation of Siegel this fall at UIC. And that coincided with the first couple of weeks of rehearsals with Glass Menagerie. And I found the common thread in both authors. It's their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the characters are so accessible to wide audiences. And that's why I think it's irrelevant whether those characters are played by white or black actors, or Latino actors for that matter. And they also have a very poetic vision. Those plays have very poetic vision, something that is very naturalistic, but at the same time elevates them to another level. Hyperrealism, if you want to call it, I don't know what it is, but it's something that I have found very similar in both Chekhov and Tennessee Williams. And that's what kind of attracted me. It almost, in my mind, those two plays became the twins.
Interesting.
The Russian and the American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's humor in both
playwrights. In both of them, which is quite often overlooked.
Yeah.
It's the human condition of those people. There are no bad people in Tennessee Williams or Chekhov's world. They're all people who have their own desires, their own loves and disappointments and broken dreams, and they're fragile people, just like those little animals that Laura is tending to. I mean, all these characters are like these little fragile animals. Like Laura says, if you breathe on it, it breaks.
Yeah. And I guess, too, just hearing, I hadn't thought about it before, but hearing you make the comparison, there's also something about the relentless repetition of what is needed or what must be accomplished, you know? You think those poor sisters need to get to Moscow, and you think Amanda has to get a gentleman for Laura.
Yeah.
They come at it from all different angles, but it's a bit nonstop, isn't it?
It is. And quite delusional.
Yeah.
But it's very real for them. That's what makes the characters so fascinating and so endearing. Because, yes, by the fifth time you hear we must go to Moscow, you should be peeing in your pants. Can we say peeing?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good.
What kind of work did you do in the rehearsal hall with the cast?
The first day we read the play, I knew I had the right people. I just knew I had the right people. I've been waiting to hear the music coming from their mouths. And what I told them is something that actually Austin Pendleton told me and Laurie at our first read-through of Frankie and Johnny. He put his pencil in the middle of the table and he said, "Now we're here. Now we need to make," and he made a round circle with his finger, "we need all this time to go back here." Hmm. Now we need to have the journey.
Back to the beginning.
Back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Where it all made sense when you heard it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we spent the first week exclusively around the table. We went scene by scene and we read it and we talked about it. So we had a week of just table rehearsals, which I love, which I'm used to, and which I think are necessary. I mean, we did the same thing with Tina during Cherry Orchard, and I believed it was very helpful to the process as well.
So reading sort of shorter sections of the play and discussing it.
Exactly, yes, and then maybe trying different things, you mm-hmm. know, talking about intentions and motives and what are they actually saying and not saying, just analyzing it together, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. And so then we hit the ground running, you know, when we started getting up on our feet. And what's really fascinating about these four actors, not only they're very talented, very intuitive artists, but they're also very they're very plastic, meaning movement is never an issue with them. They know exactly how to find their patterns, you know.
Yeah.
You never have to tell them, go do that, go do. Their intuition leads them, and they kind of find their own movement. So I kind of felt a little bit in the position of the kind of the coach who would just tell them, okay, let's tighten this up, or let's cut this cross, let's do this. And I was always offered a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. They were the kind of actors that make any director happy. Give them a lot of choices, you know, give the director a lot of choices. And what was really fascinating is that the work never stopped. I mean, even now in performance, they continue to grow. They continue to try new things. And also, it's a true ensemble. Those four are very tight.
Yeah,
they all have worked with one another at some point,
mm-hmm.
and they knew each other, and so the glue was immediately there, you know?
Yeah, sort of something that's celebrated here at Steppenwolf, right, is the repeated creative relationship and the fact that we are better together and we're even better when we have worked previously because we draw on
exactly.
those experiences.
That's the whole purpose of ensemble, isn't it?
Yeah, especially with a family play, right?
Yeah, yeah. Really became a family.
Yeah, so what was, if you had to describe the aspect of mounting the production that was the most challenging, what would you say it would be?
Well, I wish I would have had more tech.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that I found challenging was the little technical rehearsals that we had.
So the period after you've left the rehearsal hall,
yes.
you're on the stage with the lights
yeah,
and
we
the
were
costumes.
Ready to go. But just the amount of tech that we were given, because we were performing on another set as well, which actually in this particular case, that could be very limiting and jarring. But in this particular case, I felt like the set of Kafka worked to our advantage.
Well, that's really interesting, right? Because the set for Kafka is really a mind space. That story progresses in the mind, in the interior. It delves into memory, Kafka on the Shore. And of course, Glass Menagerie really is framed by the fact that Tom is
It's a memory play.
Yeah.
It's a memory play, and this is, that's the design element that we have been talking from day one with all the designers, is this world that is spun out of Tom's memories and imagination, hence all the fabric and stuff. And I think the blue actually works really well
yeah.
with the, especially with the actor's reflections being actually projected from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It has kind of a eeriness. See, now you have to come and see it because we're making yeah. it sound so cool, but it is cool.
Well, and the setting is capable of actually making the actors and the furniture float in a way.
Precisely.
In space.
Yes.
Not sort of grounded.
Exactly. And that's that was the advantage of it. Yeah. But like I said, you know, there's other disadvantages like limited sources of light. But I think it turned out quite well.
Yeah. Yasin, I'm struck by the fact that The Glass Menagerie is a story that one can revisit over time and that one identifies with different characters differently at different stages in your life. I know that I saw production when I was in high school and I was very involved with Laura and The Gentleman Caller. They're very close to my age, so just post high school. And now I see so much of Amanda and also of Tom in the present, and the fact that he pursued what he wanted to pursue, what he needed to pursue, what he needed to do, and understanding that there was a cost,
mm-hmm.
that he left behind his sister.
An enormous guilt.
Enormous guilt.
That's why he comes back to revisit the old haunted house.
And I guess what's so heartrending about that is the fact that clearly Tennessee Williams is referencing his own life.
Mm-hmm.
And had he not left as Tom does, we would not be the beneficiaries of his identifying that experience of leaving behind.
It's a great
loved
way
ones.
To put it. Yes, yes, I agree. Our James T. Alfred, actually, who plays Tom, has been very eloquent at the audience discussions with the kids, justifying the choice. And to him, it's a very personal thing because this is something that he has done with his family to pursue his dreams.
It's so interesting because the reasons, as stated by Tennessee Williams in the character of Tom, are mysterious, aren't they? They're elusive to us. They're not stated full out. We get a sense of Tom's being trapped, and we know that he's going to join the Merchant Marines, and that there's a sense of adventure. But and we know that he's a writer, right? And that his writing is thwarted by the fact that he has to either do it on the back of the shoebox at the factory where he works, or if he does it at home, he has to try to hide it so his mother doesn't find it. So it's tied up in adventure. It's tied up in the need of the artist to write. There is also a kind of manifestation of not being able to escape in alcohol. And he talks about attending magic shows. And it's a mysterious interior that Tom has in the play. You know, he doesn't say, I need to leave to move to Canada to be a writer. And again, that's the kind of poetry that Tennessee Williams is writing in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a restless young man who wants to see the world, who wants to follow his dreams. It's really interesting. He doesn't move to Paris to write poetry. He needs to follow his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does.
That's interesting because it's echoed, isn't it, in Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah.
Stanley's sort of in touch with the human instinct juxtaposed with Blanche's refinement of that. And Amanda goes to that refinement. Don't talk to me about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
not... We rise above that, right? We have to ignore our instincts.
Right.
Learn better behavior.
Right, but I mean, I think what the big issue is that each one of us can relate to feeling trapped and wanting to do the things that you feel passionate about, to follow your dreams.
Yeah.
To become an actor in an age where being an actor is almost ludicrous, you know.
Right.
Everybody, you know, wants to become a lawyer or a doctor or something, or an investment banker. Even probably that's not very popular right now. But, you know, things that bring security.
Mm-hmm.
And how many unhappy people are there?
Yeah.
And how few are the lucky ones who really... That's a line from Siegel when Nina says to Trigorin, you're one in a million.
Yeah.
You get to do what you really want.
Well, so are you, Yasin. One in a million. Thanks a lot for talking today.
Thanks,
and
baby.
If you want more information about the Steppenwolf for Young Adults production of The Glass Menagerie, you can visit www.steppenwolf.org.
AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.